Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, back here on the Gordon Damer Show, 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. The NBA playoffs are hot right now, and no one better to talk NBA with than, of course, the great Adrian Wojnarowski, who's nice enough to give us a couple of minutes today. Woj, how you doing, man?
Gordon, I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, living the dream right now with the Knicks playing as well as they are onto the second round. Everything is Knicks all the time right now. From the people that you talk to, is the performance of Jalen Brunson as a Knick, is it as much a shock to people within the league as it seems like it is to everybody else?
Yeah, I think he has exceeded expectations like every step of the way, right? From, you know, second round pick to a starting point guard to then a frontline starter to then an all-star to now an all-NBA level player. And I think, you know, if they're being honest with you, the Knicks, who knew him better than anybody, Leon Rose, their president, he's known Jalen Brunson since he was a young kid. Rick Brunson was Leon Rose's, essentially one of his, if not his first client, one of his first clients as an agent when Rick had come out of Temple. And so he's known that family forever. And, you know, it was somewhat dumb luck that they got him in free agency, because if Dallas had just given him the max he was eligible for prior to the trade deadline, I guess 2 years ago, which was essentially like 4 years, 50, or excuse me, yeah, 4 years, $56 million, which you look back at now and you scoff at. But they held off offering him that, thinking that maybe they could use him in a trade at the trade deadline, a 1% chance they would need his contract in a deal. And then by the time they got past the trade deadline, he realized, I'm not accepting that offer. That's all he was eligible for, is a second-round pick. And then Dallas was going to have to clear a bunch of cap space to be able to sign him the way the Knicks did. They couldn't, and they lost him to the Knicks. But even then, I don't know that the Knicks thought he would be this for them. But I would say that Jalen Brunson has been the most impactful free agent in the NBA in the last decade, outside of, say, LeBron James and Kevin Durant, who obviously both left in free agency, won championships. And I don't know that a single player has galvanized an organization and brought all of it together the way that Brunson has. And so it's been remarkable. You don't see stories like this very often in the NBA.
Now, is he eligible for an extension this summer? And if that is true, like, what do you think that would look like from a Knick point of view?
He is eligible for an extension, but if he waits another year, he's eligible for a lot more money. So guess which one you think he'll probably do, right? There's no rush. And listen, he's home in New York now. You know, this is not a player who listen, if he wanted to do the extension this summer, I'm sure they'd be thrilled to do it. But you just look at the math of it, and history would tell you he'd wait and do a bigger extension the following year. Assuming that he's going to stay, and there's certainly no indication, you know, that he wants to do anything but continue to be a part of this.
We're talking with Woj here on the Gordon Damer Show, 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. I got to be honest, when it was announced that Leon Rose was going to be the guy taking over the Knicks, Woj, I was not on board. But clearly, I was wrong. All of us who kind of doubted that move were wrong. What's the perception about, obviously people around the league knew Leon from his time as an agent, but what's been the perception of him as an executive and the job that he's done so far?
I think what Leon has done a great job of is, number one, surrounding himself with really great people. And kind of knowing what he didn't know coming in to the job. You go from the agent side to the team side for anybody. It's new, and you look at, there's been a track record of success. Bob Myers, Rob Pelinka, both won championships making that move. There's been a few others. But I think what Leon did was, number one, he had a relationship with James Dolan, that he could manage that relationship and work with him, which has shown to be an important part of that job. But he made great hires, and the people he put around him in the front office. He hired a coach who he knew very well and who turned out to be just perfect for what this job needed, the kind of players. And then they brought in players to fit their coach in Tom Thibodeau. And so I just think that there's lots of different ways to do this job well. There's lots of different styles, and there's lots of different people who can excel in the job. And so much of it can be circumstantial to the market and the owner and who's best to work together. And it just became a perfect storm in New York. And what I think is a little unique about the Knicks right now is, you know, a lot of these contenders are, you know, they're fragile to a key player leaving or wanting to leave or asking out or age of the roster. The Knicks have as much of a runway as anybody does with the core they have, and then an ability to go out and add to that core because they've kept their draft picks. You know, they developed young players. And so if the Knicks want to go get involved in a big trade for an all NBA level player who becomes available, they have as much of an ability as anybody to have the assets to make that trade and then have an environment and a market to know that player will want to stay there. And that was always the issue in the past. You know, did guys want to play here? The team wasn't any good. The organization wasn't any good. And now you've kind of buttoned up all those things. So you don't just have what you see in front of you now, which may be good enough to get them to maybe the conference final. Who knows? But you have the chance to improve that roster, and you're not really worried too much about your key guys saying, hey, I want to be somewhere else. And so very few teams, if any, I think have the setup the Knicks have right now. And if you're a Knicks fan, you should be enjoying it.
Yeah, we're talking with Adrian Wojnarowski here on the Gordon Damer Show, 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. So it seems like it's always the question surrounding the Knicks. When are they going to make that big move, Woj? I think one of the things that Leon Rose has done so well is shown patience, right? It feels like a lot of past Knick executives have gotten into trouble trying to push that big move right away or in the first year. How aggressive, though, do you think the Knicks will be to get aggressive this summer? How aggressive do you think they'll be?
I think if there's a chance to land another, you know, big-time difference-making player, they can do it. And listen, certainly a priority is going to be to re-sign OG Anunoby. You know, he came over in the trade with Toronto, and so they get a few months head start. But he's a player who, if he goes into free agency, teams that have cap space like, you know, Philadelphia and Orlando, who have very good teams that have cap space, would be threats. But you've gotten to give him a chance to taste what it feels like to be in the postseason in New York and see how he fits in with his group. He can pay him more than anybody else. So you probably like your chances there, but I think this is very likely, I think, going to be a summer where there could be some significant players available, and the Knicks have their picks. They have young players. They have their pick swaps. They have other teams' picks. They're in great position. And I think, you know, you kind of get through the season, you see what it looks like, maybe positionally, where you think you're best. You know, do you want to add to the front line? Do you want to add to the backcourt? They're in a position to be picky about where they go all in on. But if they decide they want somebody, I don't know that there's a team that has maybe more to offer if you got into a situation where there was a high-profile player available and you could – I think if you're the Knicks, you could give up a lot without giving up the core and this group that has made you feel like, you know, you've got a burgeoning contender here.
We're talking with Woj on the Gordon Damer Show, 98.7 FM. Well, you're the insider. For us outsiders trying to identify what that name is, who that player is, how much do you think a connection to CAA, Leon Rose's former agency, how much do you think means of that moving forward?
I don't know. Like, listen, it's a league of relationships, and I know there's perceptions of that, but I think that Leon, in my experience, like most GMs, most presidents, have good relationships with all the big agencies. It's important, but at the end of the day, you know what's really important? Having salary cap space to be able to, nobody's taking less money to do anything. And so I think a lot of that gets overblown. Like, if you have cap space and you have a good team, people want to be a part of it because the players are going to dictate very often where they're going to be and where they want. I don't think agents push players places, because if you push a guy somewhere and he doesn't want to be there and he's unhappy, guess what he's going to do? He's going to fire you when it doesn't go well. He's going to blame you, and rightfully so. And so, listen, I think that Leon's one of his one of the positives about his candidacy when they hired him and remains so is he's got good relationships. He's got good ones with, I think, the big agencies. He's got good ones with other executives in the league to make deals with. It's all part of that picture, I think.
We're talking with Adrian Wojnarowski here on the Gordon Damer Show. All right, so Woj, given the success the Knicks have had without Julius Randle, what do you think his future is in terms of the Knicks? Or has he played his last game for the Knicks?
It's impossible to say. I don't know that he's played his last game for them. They were playing at a super high level when he was on the floor, and I still think there are going to be times in this postseason where they're going to miss him and where they miss his rebounding, they miss his scoring, they miss him as an option. Now they got through the Philly series. Now they've got, obviously, the Pacers. But listen, if you're going to do a big deal, he's got a big contract. And so certainly it would be part of the conversation, I guess. But I think right now, you know, and we talk about those big deals and those big players becoming available, it's still pretty rare in the league where, you know, all NBA level players are available. It's not every day. I think there's a possibility, maybe there could be a couple this summer, but I think if you're the Knicks, you're going to be pretty particular about how you change up this roster, knowing you've got a special chemistry in a group there. And sometimes just adding a big name doesn't make you a better team. And the pieces fit there. And I think the Knicks are going to be really – it took them a long time to cobble all that together, and I think they'll be really careful about transforming that roster – just based on somebody's name. It's got to be, hey, is this guy really fit how we want to play? Does he make us better at a position? How much do we have to give up? Kind of all the things that you're always going to take into consideration on a big deal.
We're talking with Woj here on the Gordon Damer Show. All right, a couple of things around the league. You broke the story about Darvin Ham yesterday, the Lakers job, a unique job. How attractive is that job at this point?
I think it's very attractive, and I would say to you, like, who are the candidates out there that should be, that would be turning the Laker job down? It's not a great head coaching market right now, especially among like established championship level coaches. There are not many of them available. And so the Lakers still give you an all NBA player, two all NBA players. I mean, LeBron James is still doing defying logic at 39, 40 years old. Anthony Davis was durable this year. He had an incredible season, incredible series against Jokic in the playoffs. And then they've got those three first round picks that they can use in trades. And so you would think that they'll probably improve their team this summer. And it's the Lakers. It's like coming to manage the Yankees or coaching Manchester United. It's one of those franchises. And I think my sense is they will pay for a top coach. You can look at the numbers of the new media rights deal. Like, there's going to be an influx of money to all these organizations that might change even the coaching market, the front office market, when they really want to go get somebody in terms of the revenue they have coming in. But I think the Laker job, I don't think it'll be a straight line search for Rob Pelinka. If you look at his past two coaching searches, you know, they bounced around a lot. And, you know, Ty Lue and Monty Williams in the first year, they didn't get either of them, but they ended up getting Frank Vogel and won a championship with them. And Darvin Ham wasn't their first choice. They talked to Juwan Howard, and he wanted to stay at Michigan. And Darvin Ham got them to the Western Finals in his first year. So I think that it's still an attractive job. And there's really no other – you know, Charlotte has a coaching vacancy, but they're probably headed toward a younger coach. They're in a rebuild. They're not looking to necessarily bring in a championship-level coach. It's not where the franchise is right now. And so the Lakers right now kind of have the run of the market. Now that could change. Phoenix still hasn't made a decision on Frank Vogel yet. And there's always probably another team or two in the playoffs who's going to lose who, you know, makes a coaching change because it almost always happens.
And on a scale of run it back to blow it up, how do you think the Phoenix Suns approach the offseason?
Run it back or blow it up? probably far closer to run it back. They really, I'm not sure they have an ability to blow it up.
At least move one of the big pieces was what I was saying, kind of thinking, you know?
Well, they're not going to move. There's really only one piece there you'd really think about moving, and that's Kevin Durant, and I don't think they're inclined to do that. Devin Booker is there. He's younger. He's their franchise star. He would not be the first one you move. And Bradley Beal, you saw how difficult it was for Washington to move him with his contract. It's not easier this year. And he holds on to that no-trade clause. And so I think it's probably more likely than not that they bring this group back, and then they try to – you know, they're going to be back in the minimum, you know, in the minimum contract game in the offseason. They could trade more picks if they want. They traded a lot of draft picks there.
Yeah.
They could do more. They could do that again. They could move a couple of their contracts around. They're going to have to re-sign Royce O'Neal. But they're limited. They made a decision when they went in on these three and what they gave up to get two of them. They gave up so many assets that they have kind of locked themselves largely into this roster.
Adrian, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes, and enjoy the playoffs.
Gordon, thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
That is, of course, Adrian Wojnarowski. Does a great job covering everything NBA.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
The two takeaways I would have is, A, if you're a Knicks fan, you have to feel very good, not just about where your team is at, but what he said there about the fact that if you line up kind of all the things that go into making a big move in an offseason, it seems like the Knicks are very high, if not at the top of the list, between the picks and the cap space and the ability to win and a winning organization. So that's awesome. That's all good. The one that I think maybe some Knicks fans might not feel so great about, the idea that Julius Randle is going to be the guy that gets moved out, or that he possibly could have played his final game for the Knicks based on the way the run has gone without him, didn't seem like Woj was all that high on that possibility. So look, the Knicks are in a great spot right now. It's not really, that's how you know the Knicks are in a great spot right now. The playoffs are going on and we're not talking about the future. It's about the now. It's about going out there and beating the Indiana Pacers. And with the Knicks, the conversation, there's always going to be a portion of it that's going to be about the big move, right? The going out and landing that next superstar to play alongside Jalen Brunson. But there's been times where that conversation has been 50-50. Right now, it feels like it's 90-10 more about, or maybe even 95-5 about what's going on with this group right now. I do think there are two things in regards to the coach, and I didn't get it into with Woj there about Tibbs and a contract extension this offseason, just because there were so many other more pressing things that I wanted to talk about. I think we can now, and who knows how the playoffs will play out, and who knows how far the Knicks will get, if they'll get past the Pacers, if they lose the Pacers, if they get to the conference finals, whatever. I think we can finally retire the narrative that Tibbs is going to wear guys out. You hear that all the time. Tibbs is playing these guys way too many minutes. The proof is in the pudding. And it's almost like Joe Torre and Mariano Rivera back in the day. Joe Torre was able to burn out a bunch of different relievers. He was never able to burn out Mariano Rivera. Tibbs, he's not burning out anybody. And look, there's clearly in the NBA two kind of train of thought that we want our guys to be the freshest they can be come the playoffs. Load management is a big thing, especially with all the injuries that you've seen in this year's postseason impacting series. But I think Tibbs kind of looks at it as a marathon, and you don't train for a marathon by sitting on the couch and being well rested. You get ready for a marathon by running and working, and the idea that the Knicks were going to be out of gas come playoff time, I think that clearly is not the case. There's been a lot of narratives about Tibbs before he got here and when that hiring was announced that, oh, by year three, he's going to burn guys out. Clearly, that's not the case. And the guys are not burned out this year from playing too many minutes. They looked, they were the team that outworked the Sixers in game six and really throughout that series. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. All right, let's go back to the phones. We'll go out to Tony is in Brooklyn. Tony, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how's it going, Gordon?
Hey, Tony.
Listen. All right. Listen, Embiid and Lowry two dirty players. Glad we got rid of them. The Pacers, I'm not scared of the Pacers. I'm not really scared of the Pacers because I don't think anybody could guard Brunson. We've seen it. We've seen how he plays. I don't think they could guard Brunson. Their point guard, Hellebrand, I don't think he's the same guy. Halliburton, I don't think he's the same guy from when he got that hamstring injury. He fell off when it comes to that. And, the Pacers, I'm not worried about them.
All right. Let me ask you this, Tony. You're a Knicks fan?
Definitely a Knicks fan.
Okay. Is there anybody you are afraid of?
Right now, I'm delusional.
Okay, there you go. That's beautiful.
I admit it to the end.
All right, that's fine. I don't want you.
I think we could win this thing.
The championship.
That's why I'm delusional.
The championship.
The championship.
Okay.
All the way to the championship.
All right, look, Tony, from your lips to God's ear.
I'll go back to Detroit, 2004 Detroit. The highest points average on that team was Rip Hamilton, 17 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they won the whole thing.
Okay.
So why can't we?
It can happen, yeah, absolutely. All right, Tony, thanks for the phone call. Look, at least Tony admits he's delusional. Like most of the Knicks fans are like, well, no, I'm not delusional. Well, that's what somebody who's delusional would say. Tony admits it. I am delusional. I think anything can beat anybody. And I don't want you to be afraid, but I always laugh when Knicks fans say, oh, I'm not scared of this team or that team. Knicks fans aren't scared of any team, and nor should you be at this point. They're playing great. It seems like the Eastern Conference is, I don't want to say there for the taking, because Boston has been a really good team, and they would be the overwhelming favorites, I think, just about anybody. But it does seem like there's some, it does kind of feel like with Boston, there's always some vulnerability there. I don't know. Maybe the coach is not exactly, it feels like they always kind of, they're always lesser than the sum of the parts kind of thing. Let's go out to Steve is in Flushing. Steve, what's going on, man?
Hey, Gordon, what's going on?
How are you?
2 points.
Yeah.
Good, good. By the way, your two horses, I'm not going to say, is it Fierceness or Forever Young by any chance?
No. I can give you so far that both of those are not the horses that I'm going with.
Okay, no problem. 2 points. I wanted to talk about the Sixers, first of all. I'm a Knicks fan, but just – I don't know. I think they can still make a move just with the free agents because they have a ton of cap space, as Adrian just mentioned when he had him on. And they still have two guys who are still in their prime, and Maxey and Embiid. And now, granted, Embiid gets injured a lot, but he's still one of the top three centers in the game when healthy. You add a guy on a trade, you know, if Bradley Beal, if his contract's made available, they can always match Tobias's. And, you know, I think he would be a good fit with the Sixers. They need that outside consistent shot to go along with Maxey. So, listen, I know the process has been, we can both agree, has been not great for the last 8 years, but they can still, you know, somehow make a few moves with Morey, you know, because he's still a decent, president, and bring one or two guys in and still be competitive. So let's just give it a few years with that. And about the Giants, by the way, the Giants tried to trade up to get what's his name? Drake May, didn't they? They tried. I heard
there was talk that they tried to Drake. Then Schefter came out and said, really, they were hoping that that Joe Alt was going to slip to them, or that they were trying to trade up for Joe Alt. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay. Can I make one more point about the Knicks?
Yeah, go ahead.
Based on what I heard. Okay, so we can agree, like, in 4 years, the Knicks lost in the first round of the Hawks, right? Three years ago.
Yep.
They didn't make the postseason the next year. Last year, lost in the second round in a hard-fought series. Mm-hmm. This year, more than likely, they'll probably lose in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Celtics. So we're progressing, right?
Absolutely.
They're literally, and they have a small window to get that one play. They're going to be at the point after, this will be the main conversation if the Celtics knock them out. They're going to need that one player to get them over the hump. And they have a 2-year window to win the title to do it, especially if they bring back OG. To me, what I'm hearing, and I know this is, I'm not being delusional here, this is with the move. You draft Bronny James, bring his dad along, and that will put you over the top.
No.
And you have 2 years.
Steve, I felt like you were doing so well. Steve, thanks for the phone call. No, I don't want to go down. We've talked about that in the past. I don't want to go down that road. That's a desperation move. That is such old school Knick thinking. That's the way the Knicks have done things in the past. Hey, let's get the guy who's past his prime, but hey, this is going to push a star power, right? Draw people to the garden. I think you've seen, you know what really draws people to the Garden? Winning. Winning is the best tonic. So no, I don't want to draft Bronny James. I don't want to get involved in the whole LeBron. He had his chance to be here. He didn't want to be here. That's fine. I don't blame him, but I don't want him. I don't want him joining the bandwagon now here at the end of his career. That is such old way of thinking about things like the Knicks used to do. I don't want to go down that road. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. And as far as the Sixers, I'm not saying that the Sixers are not going to be a contender anymore or they're going to drop off. I just think that when you're in year 8 with Embiid, that you can never, like everybody say, oh, he's really good when he's healthy. When is he ever healthy? Do you think at this point moving forward that you're ever going to get a year now until wherever he retires that he's going to be healthy for a majority of the season and throughout the playoffs, still playing at near 100% come playoff time? I'm skeptical. And I think that if that would have happened, it would have happened by now. Now, can they still make moves this offseason? Will they still be a threat? Absolutely. But I just kind of feel like that whole the process and everything that was the byproduct of that has been tainted. And if you were going to get any payoff from that, you would have gotten it by now. And this year is just another example that whole, never has there been a more public and brazen attempt to tank to become a championship level team. And tanking does work at times, but with the Sixers, the payoff has certainly not matched the buildup. That's for sure.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Talking a lot of Knicks as they get ready for the Pacers starting on Monday night with a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals on the line between the old rivals, Indiana and New York. So that certainly has been a hot topic of conversation. Also, we are getting in some post-game sound from Aaron Judge after he got ejected for the first time in his baseball career earlier today, arguing balls and strikes after a strikeout late in the game. What was that, seventh inning maybe, eighth inning? A pitch on the outside corner. Judge didn't like it, was walking back to the dugout, and of course, the umpire, Ryan Blakeney, ejected Aaron Judge. And to me, it as a baseball fan who's watching games night in and night out and trying to cover the entire league, you see it on a regular basis. Baseball umpires just ejecting people from the sport, night in, night out. Stars of the game being ejected night in. And look, sometimes, I'm sure it is warranted, but I will say this, more times than not, when there is a disagreement about balls and strikes, the player is right and the umpire is wrong. Now, I don't know if Blakeney was calling that pitch on the outside corner all game because we're in the process of doing a show. I would find it hard to believe that he was calling that pitch on a regular basis throughout the game today, but maybe he was. But Judge was upset about the call, said a little something, did say that he thought it was BS. It was pretty clear from the video that I saw, but didn't go Jimmy Connors, didn't go John McEnroe, didn't go George Brett with the pine tar incident, just had something to say, was walking back to the dugout and still got ejected. And the baseball, it happens in no other sport. You see NBA players complain about a call. They don't get ejected from the game. They don't generally get a technical if they're just voicing displeasure about a call. You don't see it in the NFL. You don't see it in the NHL. You don't see it anywhere. Only in Major League Baseball. Only when baseball umpires are involved. And it's already popped up several times so far this year. And you know what? It will continue to happen. It will continue to happen on a regular basis. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go to Brandon is in the Bronx. Brandon, next up on the Gordon Damer Show.
What's up, Gordon? How you doing today?
I'm good, Brandon. What's up?
I'm all right. I caught the tail end. I just got off work. I caught the tail end of you said something that Woj has said about Julius possibly playing his last game.
Yeah, well, there seems to be this feeling, you know, if the Knicks go on this deep playoff run without Randall, that his days might be numbered. And I know that there's been a feeling like, hey, maybe if you're looking to make a big deal this offseason, that maybe Randall will be involved. And Woj kind of pushed back on that and didn't see that really as a possibility.
Oh, okay, great. I hope not, because you know, I'm a realistic Knicks fan. I know how far we could get. If you watch the West and the size out there, you know, whoever comes out the East, nobody's beaten. Like Dallas, Dallas came up upon the around the trade deadline a couple of moves that they could win the whole thing with the five that they have right now, and that's where we're getting into trouble because Josh Hart is great and I love him, but mm-hmm. he's only like 6'4".
Right.
And against the bigger power forwards, that's where we're going to miss Julius.
Well, that's very possible. I think it's more not necessarily that you think about what the Knicks have to do this offseason. Re-signing OG is certainly a possibility, and it does kind of feel like every offseason there's that big move to be made. And you wonder if the Knicks get to an Eastern Conference Finals this year, does that put more pressure on Leon Rose to make that big move, or does that put less pressure on him to make
the big move? The only big move I see, which should be either Donovan Mitchell or a guard, a big time two guard.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brandon, right? we shall see. Right, I mean, there's already been with everything going on with Phoenix and the way they flamed out of the playoffs this year. People are starting to mention some names out there. This much for sure without knowing how the playoffs are going to end this year. The NBA offseason never disappoints. Right, there's always big moves to be made, and I'm sure that there will be this year. Whether or not the Knicks are involved, I don't know.
Right, I just hope they don't lose Julius. That size, 6'8", 250. Because I'm pretty sure if he was there, what Embiid was doing, he wouldn't have been doing had Julius have been there. Because he doesn't really,
the thing with Julius, and Brandon, thanks for the phone call. The thing with Julius, two things. A, I don't know that, and I always felt like when he went down that it was for the best that he was not here, given how hard it would have been to kind of reincorporate him into the offense. But I don't think that the Knicks are, I'm not one of the Knicks fans that thinks, oh, just get Randle out of here. I don't want to see him here anymore. But here's the weird thing about Randle. As valuable as he's been to the Knicks, it has never really felt like he has that other teams value him in the same way. And with him coming off as significant an injury and missing as much time as he has, I would think that would decrease the odds that he is now going to be moved somehow this offseason. But that's the beauty of the offseason in the NBA. Like, there's big moves that are made that you don't see coming, big names involved that you didn't know were going to be there. So I'm sure that when you hire Leon Rose, when you hire the former agent, there's always going to be an anticipation that at some point that big move is going to be made. And you would think, right, if the Knicks get to the second round of the playoffs this year, if they get to, or not just the second round, but if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year and they take that next step, I don't know if that puts more pressure. As I said to Woj, I think one of the things that Leon Rose has done really well is he's avoided the temptation that other GMs and other team presidents have fallen into in that forcing the big move, right? We got to have that star player now. The NBA's where stars win. He's avoided that temptation, and look at that, has actually built a team. They took what they had when they walked in the door, did the best that they could, trying to win as many games as they could with that group. And the first offseason, let's be honest, that was a disaster between the Kemba move and the Fournier move. But the next offseason, they go out and get Jalen Brunson. And since then, it's been home run after home run after home run. So I don't know how things are going to turn out, but I don't think that there could be an executive in this town right now, or really an executive just about anywhere, that I would trust more his judgment, right? Because there's been some moves that Leon Rose has made that you do kind of question, right? Bringing in Tibbs when he brought him in, I wasn't a fan of the move. I think a lot of Knicks fans were not a fan of the move at the time. Jalen Brunson, I liked that move. I didn't think it was ever going to turn out to be like this. The Josh Hart move, never thought it would turn out to be this impactful. So there's been a lot of moves that when you stack wins on top of wins like Leon Rose has done here, in terms of his moves made, it makes you trust him all that much more. So if they do end up going out there and making a big move this offseason, even if it's not a name that you would ordinarily say, oh, wow, I love that, you kind of have to give the benefit of the doubt to Leon Rose with the moves he's done so far. Let's go out to Jan is in Yonkers. Jan, next up on the Gordon Damer Show.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Thanks, Jan.
No, I agree with the last caller. I miss Julius. And I'm sorry that we don't have him, you know, because if we had him in the Sixers series, we probably wouldn't have to struggle for offense like we did. And he was playing better before he went down. He was more of a facilitator.
It's tough to know because he's been such a helter-skelter player. It has been such a shift from him regular season to postseason. But this year was set up better for him. If we all came away from the first year saying he can't be the number one guy on a really good team, well, this year was set up that he could be that number two guy. He didn't have to be that number one guy.
Right. I'm a realist. I'm a little nervous about this series coming up with Indiana. I believe one game in regular season, they scored 157 points. Mm-hmm. They hit a lot of threes, run up and down the court. And unfortunately, our defense against a three-point shot is not good. We miss a lot of foul shots, and we turn the ball over. And I'm wondering, you know, how we're going to handle this team. You know, does Alec Burke come off the bench? Does Precious Achiuwa come off the bench? Your thoughts, and thank you for taking my call.
All right, Jed. Yeah, I'm fairly confident, barring injury, you're not going to see Alec Burks. I think that's pretty much clear, and I think that barring injury, I don't think you're going to see Precious Achiuwa. Maybe that might change. I think that if there's anybody that gets off the bench for any reason, it would be Achiuwa, but I would not get my hopes up there. Look, the game, the series against the Pacers, it's going to be it's all going to be about pace, right? The Pacers want to run up and down the court. The Knicks want to slow it down. Pacers have, I think, the highest rate in the NBA in terms of playing with pace. The Knicks, one of the slowest teams. Knicks can kill you on they'll kill the Pacers on the offensive boards like they were killing the Pacers. Not very good rebounding. The Knicks are. So let's get into the series. It's funny. You draw up these series based on how the regular season went or how you think this team does, and then you get into a series and it's completely different, right? Going into the Sixers series, it felt like, well, Joel Embiid's playing on one leg. The guy can't do this. I think there's a better chance that he misses time than plays the entire series. Like, and then you get into the series and he's game three. He can't miss a shot. He's going to the line 20 times, everything else. So I'm confident that the Knicks, I like this matchup for the Knicks. I think that I'm confident the Knicks will be able to win this series, but let's get into it and see how these things go. Mitch is in East Windsor. Mitch, next up on the Gordon Damer Show.
How's it going, Gordon?
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, one guy you gotta like is Josh Hart. Excuse me. He's a heck of a player. I mean, that is some backcourt they have next. And I'm assuming, I think maybe Orlando Cleveland help us out. Maybe there's a chance we get to the finals. Have to pray a little bit. I think we'd be getting out of there, missing a couple of guys.
Let's not worry about Mitch, thanks for the phone call. Let's not worry about Orlando. Let's not worry about the Celtics. I said this in the first series. There's no talk about future series. There's no talk about NBA finals or Eastern Conference. Let's deal with the task at hand. Let's focus. We haven't even played a game against the Pacers. Let's not start spinning into magical thinking and say, well, if this happens and then that happens, this is not some sports Rube Goldberg machine where if this thing and then that thing and then this thing, let's just focus on the task at hand. And that would be the Indiana Pacers starting on Monday night.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Judge got ejected for the first time today. An outside call. If you didn't see the pitch, if you're not on X, which is still Twitter, why do they bother calling it X? If you sign on to it on a computer, you still have to say Twitter.com. So it's still Twitter.com. I'm not calling it X. That's stupid. But if you look at the call that, if you look at the call, the pitch is outside. Now, maybe it nipped the corner. I don't know if the umpire was calling that pitch the entire game. Judge didn't like it. Said a little something. Wasn't going chest to chest. This was not Lou Brown from Major League kind of screaming and yelling. Tire world. No, he was walking back to the dugout, and then the umpire, Ryan Blakeney, said, well, you know what? That's not good enough for me. And he throws Judge out for the first time. All right, so here is Aaron Judge after the game, courtesy of Yes. How surprised were you that you got ejected?
Oh, very surprised, especially a 5-3 game, late in the game and, battling 3-2 count and, kind of walking away saying my piece. I've said it a lot worse, and made a scene. I usually try not to make a scene in situations like that. So a little surprised walking away that happened.
Okay. Did you say anything that crossed the line, Aaron?
Nothing. I got a lot of respect for Ryan and what he does. I know their job's tough. I've always had had their back because, you know, it's tough back there, you know. So for that to happen that way, it's, I think that's what I'm most upset about, especially in the game, late in the game like that, close game.
Okay, and was it more painful because he ejected you when you were walking back to the dugout?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing is, you know, it's the heat of the moment. You know, 3-2 count, I think it's a ball. I disagreed with the call, and, you know, say what you want, but get back to the dugout and, you know, get the game moving along. So to me, facing the dugout, walking away, and then get tossed, kind of hear, I didn't even see myself get tossed. I think it was a crowd reaction is what I heard, so I kind of assumed at that point, but... Yeah.
Well, look, here's the thing, and it really doesn't matter in this situation. You would think, like, if the umpire watched the video, you would think that if there was a controversial call and you threw out a star of a game, that you would lend, as an umpire, you'd go review. All right, let me see. Let me check to make sure. And maybe the fact that the pitch just kind of nipped the outside, the umpire, he usually calls that pitch anyway. I don't know. Blakeney has a pretty good track record in terms of calling balls and strikes, at least statistically. But all you need to know is after, and the attitude that Major League Baseball, or at least a good majority of these umpires have, is that they're just so belligerent. Like the incident that happened with Boone a couple of weeks ago where he gets ejected for what the fan said, the guy, Hunter Wendelstedt, said, I don't even care. I don't even care. I've been doing this a long time. He was 1,000% wrong, and he just couldn't admit to being wrong. So as I said earlier, get the robo-umps here as soon as possible. I don't even need a full-blown robo-ump. Give me anything back there, any type of device to call a vacuum cleaner, a microwave, one of those old-school calculators you had back in the day that had, like, the paper tape that would come out. Anything would be better than the belligerence of the umpires. And after the game, they talked to Rizzo, who said that the umpire was being a little sensitive. I'm sure he's going to say he's right because they're always right. It does kind of seem that way. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's squeeze in another call here before the top of the hour. Let's go out to, let's see, Kevin is in Manhattan. Kevin, next up on the Gordon Damer Show.
Hi, Gordon. I'm enjoying your show today, and I always look forward to hearing you and Larry. Very entertaining, always.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Two things I would like to say about the Knicks, and to talk about number one, is Brunson the number one or not? The only number one that mattered was in the point total, where the Knicks scored one more point than the Philadelphia 76ers. And also, I want to commend Hartenstein for absorbing the punishment of that dirty player, Embiid, and had the courage not to retaliate. He's a courageous player, and I respect him a whole lot.
Well, and, look, Kevin,
looking forward to hearing you. Bye.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the kind words. After the incident with Joel Embiid and the whole Mitchell Robinson thing, and then even after stepping on Josh Hart, and then, oh, did I step on you? I'm sorry. Let me step on you again. You can't get caught up in that, right? And the best revenge is living well, and the best revenge in this case is winning the series, and that's exactly what the Knicks did, and the Sixers are out in the first round yet again. So, yeah, you can't get – I know at the time, especially with the Mitchell Robinson stuff, a lot of talk on all the shows, how do you respond? You got to hit him in the face. You got to do this. You got to send a message. You got to show you're not going to get pushed around. No, the best message is go out there and win the game. Go out there and win the series, and everything will take care of itself. Don't get, like your mom said, don't sink to their level. Don't sink to their level. And I think now it has been well established that Joel Embiid is clearly a dirty player with the antics that he pulled in this Knicks series. Dave is in Westchester. Dave, go, my man.
Hey, Gordon, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. What's up?
Thanks for taking the call. You were talking about Thibodeau and his rotation, and I've been rooting for the Knicks since the late 70s, and I go back to the 90s with Pat Riley. The thing that worries me about the rotation is that the short rotation is that, you know, injuries and readiness. And, you know, we're already down a bunch of our front court players. We lost Bogdanovich. You know, Randall's out. So that's just the only thing that worries me. you know, is looking down the bench and not feeling like guys are at this point ready to go in. And, you know, God forbid we need to put in like Shake Milton or somebody like that. And I was also had a question for you. I was wondering, are they going to call somebody up? I mean, it seems like they lost, you know, with the loss of Bogdanovich, they have a roster spot for somebody big. But that's the thing that worries me with Thibodeau's rotation. But, you know, other than that, it's a real exciting time. This team is just amazing. And Josh Hart at this point, I think, is my favorite player of all time on the Knicks at this point.
Well, look, I can see that, Dave. He's a real, like, glue guy. Gives you, and thanks for the phone call, whatever you kind of need on that given day, that's what he gives you. And if you need scoring, he'll give you scoring. If you need rebounding, if you need defense, whatever you need, he's there to provide it. Well, look, I understand what you're saying. The Knicks do play heavy minutes. The Sixers played heavy minutes. Now, the Pacers do play, I guess, an extra guy in their regular rotation. But it's not that significant. So we'll see. And here's the thing. If Tibbs has to kind of adjust based on injury, based on not playing well, I mean, these series, they change so quickly, right? Like, you go into a series, all right, this is what Mitchell Robinson is going to do, and then all of a sudden Mitchell Robinson's hurt. So if they're forced to make some changes, I guess that there's the possibility. I would not expect them. I would not expect to see Shake Milton has got a lot more mentions on the shows here than I would have expected. I don't think you're going to see Alec Burks. I certainly don't think you're going to see Shake Milton. And maybe, I guess, if there's a name that could be mentioned, maybe Precious Achiuwa, but I don't expect that either. I think Tibbs has got a style. It's working, and I think at this point you have to trust in him, given that he has given you actual results so far.
Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.